fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm in the studio with DD,
the occasional co-host of the other side of the news here on WGRN. The new renaissance, and we're going to have us a birthday party on Monday, Bob, for the station.
Monday! What's going on Earth. On Monday? Third. Monday.
That's right. Third Earth Day birthday, featuring lots of music and food at the world-famous Dick's Den, up there where across from where I used to have a little... tavern.
Where anthropologists go to study old hippies, I understand.
And jazz, baby.
Jazz.
It's Columbus's best jazz hole. 2417 North High Street. We'll start at 6 o'clock. Go to at least 11 or 12. $10 is a suggested donation. You can probably pay a little less if you can't afford the 10, or you could certainly give more to keep this radio station going. Community radio is where it's at, and where we are. Also, there'll be some food. Connie Harris, the organizer of the event, will be bringing some chow along, so and bring an appetite as well.
And
bring
you'll
friends.
Be singing stuff like, "They say it's your Earth Day."
Close, but actually we're going to do the theme song to this show, Bob, which Suzanne picked out of a number of songs I suggested, and it's War Pigs by Sabbath, and I'm going to try to give it a Ronnie James Dio, slash Ozzy. I'll be using both hand signals, right? The evil eye one and the Ozzy, like a sort of piece. Devil thing. I don't know. We'll have some fun, that's for sure. So other entertainment of the night will be Victoria Parks, who pretty much is the power behind
this. War Pigs.
Yes, and is pretty much the female power behind this women-centric station. So Victoria Parks and Elizabeth Bolin and Friends, Bob Sauls, legendary
Bob
songwriter.
Sauls, and he is legendary, one of my favorites.
Sure is.
And put the rock in rockabilly, Mr. Sauls did.
Is that what it is? I always thought he was country blues, but that's all right.
I'm going with early rockabilly. Yeah. When rockabilly was
the real deal.
That's right.
Well, Bob's definitely a country boy. Worked in a coal mine for a number of years, as a matter of fact.
All right.
About that. So anyway, he'll be there, and Happy Chichester, who was in the Royal Crescent Mob. And then Howlin' Maggie, and he does a solo act primarily these days. And then it'll be Dan D, me, and the War Pigs, followed by Brian Clash.
But
Dan D.
Dan D?
Yeah, and the War Pigs.
And I ran into Rosie today.
Rosie will be rocking with me. 50 pounds lighter, Rosie, no less.
He been on a diet? He been getting healthy?
So he looks healthier, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So we saw Rosie at an event today. That was a funeral for an old activist involved with Comfest and the Hot Times, and that would be Charlie Einhorn.
My good friend Charlie Einhorn, who used to out the Free Press in the 1990s.
There you go.
When we went electronic and we no longer literally laid it out by pasting stuff.
The old Gutenberg press that you have in the basement of your mansion, right?
Yeah, I wish I had one. It'd be worth some money.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah, well, that was wooden with, kind of a lever and lead type.
Wow.
But there was the paste-up, right? You printed stuff out and you pasted it on sheets.
Okay.
Within certain lines, and they printed it. But
so
Charlie,
that's like real cut and paste, I guess.
Literally, that's where the
that's
term,
where the
came,
term
from.
Came from. Okay.
You would
learn a new thing every day. There.
And you used to get the amount of column inches. You'd actually have to measure instead of like 800 words because you didn't have Microsoft Word Count. They'd say, we need, you know, 24 column inches. So you have to get a little ruler and, you know, come up with 24 column inches.
Tape measure, yeah.
Well, 24 would be good, right? That's a huge front page.
Yeah, there you go. So Charlie was part of that with the free press.
Yeah, he was.
The transition.
Charlie, early on, learned how to do use the Mac and do, you know, PageMaker, some of the early software that, you know, that not a whole lot of people were doing it at the time. You know, now I think they got 5-year-old kids and know how to whip it out. But back then, and
some states, that's frowned on. But go ahead, Bob.
Page maker. Well, anyway.
Only five, though. It's okay.
But Charlie was very good and spent a lot of time there, sometimes more than I anticipated, because Charlie would, we'd get there, and, you know, Charlie would be kind of worried if you didn't eat. So he would feed Suzanne and I, right?
There you go.
And then, in order to think about what
Earth
we were doing.
Father that he is, yeah,
He would imbibe and smoke something that's almost legal now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He would,
close to that, yeah.
So he would roll a joint so we could think about what we were doing in the creative process.
Right. Stimulate the creativity.
Yeah. And then he would get, once he imbibed in something nearly legal in this day and age, then he had to walk his dog, Shayna. And then he'd have to come back.
I'm glad you're giving us all the details of Charlie's day with you.
Then he came back.
He did a lot more in his life, too, folks.
No, I'll tell you what he did. He usually came up with the cover right at the last second, and it always turned out to be brilliant. But he also then would play his guitar.
Okay.
Charlie's guitar.
Well, and he was involved in a store up on campus called Charlie's Guitar, named for his guitar, not for him, the guitar itself.
He wasn't even an owner of it, but it was named for his guitar. He liked to play his guitar. Then we'd sit around and, you know, lay some stuff out, and then we'd think, what are we going to do for the cover? And then we'd done everything but the cover. Once we did, I always remember a story on the trash-burning power plant with the stacks, they came down. So he said, what if we made it look like the stacks, but like the Titanic sinking? Uh-huh. Like the stacks are sinking underwater. Is it?
For those who might not remember Columbus history that well, there was once a plant producing
power plant
from trash. Mayor Moody thought we were ahead of the curve on that one, right? But
yeah, and they might have been had they actually put in any stack scrubbers. They built it without no electrostatic precipitator, zapper, and those stack scrubbers. So essentially all the, and then they made their biggest mistake. They didn't source separate the trash. So they're burning plastics with organics, and they're also burning it imperfectly. That is, they're burning
a
it.
High they, enough temperature?
Yeah, they decided to burn it with coal because Ohio is dirty, filthy, sulfuric. Coal,
yeah, and at the
instead
very,
of gas, yeah, right?
Yeah, right?
Instead of like firing up this gas and burning it completely. So what they did is created the largest generator of dioxin 2378, the deadliest substance on planet Earth, and an active ingredient in Agent Orange. That's what they ended up by not source separating.
Along with the modicum of energy that came out of the plant.
It wasn't much energy.
And if you were going to use coal, there is a harder coal called anthracite, but you only get that in one area of Pennsylvania, I think, in North America.
Yeah, we had this god-awful, highly sulfuric, smelly, you know, coal that we got sued for.
Dirty coal, yeah. Well, they use, matter of fact, at Natalie's, where I worked for a while, does a lot of music. They cook pizza up there with the hard coal. So anyway, yeah. Dirty coal, man. So that was just one of the old free press things that Charlie helped with.
Yeah, we worked there, and we had a story. There were 250 men that worked at the trash burner. In 10 years, 25 died.
Wow.
Of various awful diseases. One, bleeding out of every pore in his body. And they had chloral acne, which was a sign of essentially being poisoned by dioxin.
I hear you.
And they actually began to, I don't want to say steal, that's an ugly word. They began to become whistleblowers and leak stuff to the free press.
Okay.
And Charlie did a lot of great work on that stuff.
Charlie Einhorn was also, again, involved with Community Festival.
Yeah, one of the original founders.
I used to disorganize the MCs, so every year I would call him up, and he'd be ready to go, and we'd talk for about an hour and a half. And
yeah, he got
talk
to
about
do,
what he's
he got
and
to
he'd
do
always get up there.
Stage a lot.
He would always do the jazz on Sundays and the main stage jazz show. And he would always like to look at the crowd and say, "Are we having fun yet?" So maybe he passed that along to Zippy the Pinhead.
Charlie,
that's how I remember.
Did like
a very
to have
positive
fun.
Guy, man.
Charlie was if you were hanging out with Charlie, you went and hooked up with Charlie at his house or coffee. You know, one more person joined and you had a party if Charlie was there.
Great guy.
Yeah, instead of sucking, you know, there's certain people I hang out with and they kind of suck joy out of rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie
put it
kind
in.
Of exuded, yeah. It's fun. We're having a good time.
Right.
We're building community.
We're relaxing. We can build community. We can be activists, and we can have fun at the same time. There you go.
And again, I like Charlie because, you know, I would be talking about my enemies, real and imagined, kvetching, worrying, saying, "Look," and he'd go, "Look, and that's fine. You guys will get back together. And just take it easy here."
And another positive force in Columbus, Ruben.
Ruben
Castillo Herrera just passed away as well. So, who was also a very positive, and his thing was the gathering of circles of people, you know, and that in community.
Yeah, Charlie kind of collected people, mm-hmm. but Charlie, you know, was a great storyteller, you know, and he had all these stories about, you know, he was part of the original beatnik scene. Him and Stan Barbaroff, his good friend. Right, is that
he said Stan was a real ladies' man.
It was in the
we were all scratched. I was at Stan's funeral. Charlie spoke and says Stan was a ladies' man. We were scratching our heads on that one, but
I've heard the same thing.
I think it's because
he probably had the only copy of the Karma Sutra in the city at Monkey's Retreat.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but they said, you know, the first beatnik. They were here for the original Beatnik movie.
Does that work, by the way?
Excuse
me, ma'am. I have a copy of the Kama Sutra.
Because you can make stuff.
Care to take a look? Come on.
Because you can make stuff up and people, you know, it turns people on. It's like I'm doing the bending aardvark. And you're like,
the old bending aardvark.
The bending aardvark.
Uh-huh. All right, then. Well, we're digressing here on WGRN.
Well, Charlie liked to digress, and so did Stan, you know.
And so does Bob. But, you know, there's a whole lot we could talk about.
I learned it from my mentors, Charlie and Stan.
There you go. Those are a couple of great guys to
remember. But here's what I liked about Charlie. Like, I was on a human rights trip, one of the few to meet Gaddafi, right? And my Jewish friends, I came back, and I met Gaddafi. It's like, why? What did he get? Charlie's like, what was he like? What did he have to say? Tell me about him. It's like Charlie's, you know, like into the, you know.
Bob and Momar were blood brothers.
Apparently. Well, I was in the first row there. I don't know if we were blood brothers, but according to the rumor, he did allow me to give the opening remarks on the 40th anniversary of the People's Revolution.
There you go. Speaking of revolutions, you know, they had one in Cuba.
Well, there's one on WGRN 94.1.
Yes,
indeed. Green Renaissance and WCRS.
Thanks for doing that. I tried doing that 30 seconds ago, but I interrupted your story. But thank you for
98.3.
On CRS?
Yes.
We're also there. That's right. Yes, we are at 5:30 on Fridays on WGRN, and I'm not sure when we air on CRS. Whenever you want.
They're not really sure either. But
in the meantime,
it's a free-form station, man.
As I was saying, there was a revolution in a place called Cuba a while back.
There was.
Apparently, the United States government at this point in time that's rolling along and performing its patriotic duties has decided to punish companies that are doing business with those communists because, hey, our government, our president and his people would have nothing to do with those communists like, you know, like Russians or something.
Well,
but anyway.
Imposing, again, penalties on anyone that deals with Cuban companies that nationalized.
That were nationalized, which started in, you know, the late 50s and early 60s, right?
Well, I'm thinking also we should also punish anyone still alive that dealt with the mob.
Yes, which was, yes.
You know, look.
Our real friends in Cuba.
In Cuba. It was the best whorehouse in the Western Hemisphere.
That's right.
And best casino.
And casino, that's right.
I know.
And the best cigars.
And the mob was helping out a little. It was doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. But no, in fact, it's going to be directed at companies doing business with the Cuban, the nationalized Cuban company. So that'll be really interesting to see how that's supposed to work. But we're going to punish them for helping Venezuela,
with
right?
China and Vietnam, right?
Yeah,
Vietnam, which uses 14-year-old kids in high school as their PE. To work 4 hours at night for 40 cents an hour making Jeeps that used to be made in Toledo. So, and we had a hot war with Vietnam.
Toledo, Ohio, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we had this hot war. 600,000 Vietnamese soldiers died, 60,000 Americans. Yet, we have free trade with Vietnam. And we tried to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
But we hate communists, Bob.
Yeah, no, we only hate the bad communists in Cuba.
Oh, the bad ones.
We like the good communists, the Marxist-Leninist, Mao Zedong thought ones in China.
Yeah, and Russia.
And we kind of, he likes to do the huggy, my good buddy in North Korea, who I think are the worst communists on the planet. It's sort
or
of
the best maybe?
Because yeah,
bad
well
joke
because
there.
They combine
I know what real ones
combine
are.
Saudi Arabia, right? Hereditary.
Sure.
It's the Kim family, Kim Jong-un, right, and his father and his grandfather. So you've got this brutal dictatorship that Trump loves and really isn't doing anything against, but he's going after Cuba. And I'm thinking if you
but
should
see,
be
they're
consistent.
Helping Venezuela to continue to thumb so their noses
Russia,
at the
he
great,
loves Russia.
The great, their great United States.
This whole policy of going after the oil, which made Venezuela, sadly, Venezuela didn't have a diversified economy, which allowed it, made it a very easy target with Citgo, right, to go after the money there. And it has heavy crude. It doesn't have that light crude that comes up in Texas. It has the heavy stuff that primarily can only be refined in the U.S. Koch brothers have a few huge refineries.
Mm-hmm.
So they were in a very vulnerable situation. And the reality is we've been mad at them ever since they refinanced debt all over, South America and Central America. And that was Hugo Chavez. So, they cost American bankers a ton of money by refinancing, government debt throughout South America.
Indeed. It just goes on and on.
It does.
And in the meantime, the Mueller report came out.
It did.
And it says in there that no one is above the law. Wanted to make sure that
but what if you were the president?
That. Well, see, that's the problem.
What Richard
Mueller
Nixon
did
say?
Not have the power
the
to
impeach.
The
president can't break the law because if the president does it, it's legal. Isn't that true, John?
And Ronald Reagan got away with what he got away with.
Now we'll be doing some rat. Okay, well, you can't say that word on radio.
And that there is a similarity. I mentioned Reagan, but there is a similarity there, right? In that Trump, in this report, it says that he kept repeating, "I don't remember. I can't recall." Does that sound familiar? mommy, I can't remember.
But I'm thinking with Reagan. I'd give Reagan some benefits.
He sort of couldn't. Yeah.
Because he later was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and was thought to have it. He was never really quite the same after they shot him and he went under the anesthesia. He was always confusing movies with reality. But in the case of
Trump doesn't have any problem confusing reality. Yeah. Okay.
He also has no trouble twisting the facts.
Indeed.
And getting his own version.
But Barr, his hand-picked fellow down there to represent him, the attorney general, because he's not working for us, apparently. He said it's conclusive there's no collusion. But they themselves said collusion's not a crime, and we all know that it's not a crime. Yet, was there obstruction here, Dr. Fitrakis?
Well, from what you can tell from a massively redacted, report it appears somebody was, obstructing something.
Something.
Yeah. And well, we really, really we can't speak, accurately unless we see the report. Now, how can they?
I think the best thing we've seen, though,
More than 400-page report on Clinton with not a single redaction, involving anything from the first member. Everything's in that report.
I mean,
they put it out as a book.
Right.
Nothing is redacted. For Trump, we've got to redact
it all.
But they
didn't redact where Trump actually said, if they're going to go through with this investigation, I'm effed. I'm screwed.
And I think we ought to look into what he meant by effed.
Well,
I've got my theories.
Yeah? Care to elaborate?
Well, I'm still working on that one, too. These young kids use these newfangled phones, and they say WTF. I'm working on that, but I think there's a similarity.
What the fudge?
Between what WTF.
Mm-hmm.
Fugs.
You know how kids are. Maybe they mean fart. You know how they are.
Yeah, fugs.
They like those kind of jokes.
Like the,
the man says I'm screwed. He basically said that he had been told that these independent investigations can get really bad, so he was screwed if they were going to look into it. But it seems to be saying that he must have done something, right?
There seems to be – well, I mean, I'm on the record. He's a money launderer.
The thing is that
he didn't – that wasn't a high crime and misdemeanor, so you can't impeach him for him. But prior to becoming president, he did a lot of money laundering through his casinos and his luxury hotels for the Russian mafia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they built whole, Trump complexes in like Baku, Azerbaijan, that were never open. It was just a way to wash dirty, filthy, criminal arms, drugs, human trafficking money.
Gosh, if you put it that way, it sounds downright criminal. But yes,
but
it was.
You can't prove he knew that the Russian mafia was doing that. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of hard to prove that he knows anything from moment to moment.
They were selling Girl Scout cookies mostly, helping out a little.
Well, we get into emoluments, too, and apparently there's a lot about that, and you and I discussed that a bit. Now, that's when the president is trying to do business to enrich himself
through his office.
Yes, right. And it's dripping with that. But, of course, Barr continues to say that, there's no collusion. And Trump does, too. They're spiking the ball. Little Kellyanne Amway said it's like the greatest day in the administration since the election. So they're partying down,
man. Well,
to
be fair, they haven't had too many good days. I mean, if you look at it objectively.
I don't know.
It's like today. I mean, they've had some attempts.
50-50.
I remember when he declared today, again, is Global Climate Change Deniers Day. And I'm denouncing on this holy day the scientists in the Pentagon at the Office of Risk Assessment. So I'm denouncing my own EPA scientists, my own military scientists, and every scientist on planet Earth.
Right. What are
so
they
that
now?
Was a big day for them.
Freaking eggheads.
Climate Change Deniers Day. That was
freaking eggheads. What do they know, really? But I see this is the thing. Without us being able to get rid of this administration, which I think a lot of us were hoping there would be enough here to do this.
Well, there's some people, there's sort of a consensus developing there probably is enough there, but Congress actually has to work.
Time's running out is what I'm saying. I think we all know that.
So. And again, the Democratic Party, is divided.
Nancy
Pelosi. Impeachment's off the table. Why? Well, because this merits impeachment, so it's off the table, right? I mean, what Nancy Pelosi, she's Speaker, so she's got... she's got all the surveys, all the poll numbers. She sees which way the wind blows.
And I'm not going to defend her, but it's like it took 2 years to get to this point because it was in the hands of this so-called objective man named Mueller who batted around, kicked it around. Eventually, he managed to punt it to his own team who intercepted the punt as it went to Barr.
Which team is he on?
Question. How hard would it be for them to just delay for another
Republican,
2 years? Kick it
but
around.
He appears not to like Trump.
Right. So I'm just saying, I think, and I understand what her point is to focus on the election. And then we have a better chance to
vote him out. Why don't we focus on whether we have a criminal in our highest office?
I agree. But hey, you know, somebody's got to play the devil's advocate once in a while. And, of course, I'll be doing that.
Why not let the devil's best friend, Trump?
And I'll be singing a song that the devil himself, Ozzy Osbourne, helped write with Black Sabbath on Monday at Dick's Den to support this radio station. See how far I'm willing to go?
What are you
singing?
I'll
go all the way out
again?
On the War Pigs, our theme song.
Okay, let's hear a little of the intro here.
No, thanks. I don't have a guitar or my guitarist with me at this point, but we'll be there. Care to talk about anything else like Notre Dame, where I planned on playing football? Oh, wait, that's the wrong Notre Dame. But, yeah, I was going to be the halfback of Notre Dame. But what do you think about the plan to fix that cathedral, Bob? Any opinions on that?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm kind of a pro-history, pro-cathedral guy.
Right.
You know, I love, you know, I think I'm glad it's going to
pro-history, pro-cathedral. Okay,
well,
I can write that down.
Well, if it's a historical cathedral.
I agree. It's a historical building, but there's going to be this, you know, instant effort, which Marcon said that they were going to do it at record time, which I'm trying to figure out. What's record time for a 1,000-year-old cathedral?
Five years, I think he said, and everyone's going, not going to happen.
They're going to get right on it. It was sad, though. Have you been to Paris, by the way, Dr. Bob?
No, I haven't, but many cathedrals in the former Yugoslavia and in Italy.
Aha.
And
yes.
In Germany.
Did you know that
in
the Cathedral of Notre Dame, they actually had some of the Savior's thorn, crown?
I saw it. They saved it.
I just got done reading Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, and he keeps running
into
various different pieces of the cross.
Before, a lot of these
Italian
towns
churches
ended up with or claimed to have
relics. Right, relics.
Some thought to be more likely than some thought to be maybe not. But there's one town that claims to have the most holy foreskin of Christ.
Really?
And it's sort of become a sign of fertility where you go and pray. If you want to have a child and you're not being successful.
I'd really love to go into detail on that topic a little bit more, but we've only got a few seconds left. Again, remind you to please come support.
It's the foreskin of Dan Dugan.
Community Radio, WGRN, the new renaissance. We'll see you Monday night at Dick's Den, 6 o'clock. Thanks.
All right.
In the fields of bodies burning. Machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.